You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Radical Australian Community Radio 3CR. Daryl is with us, and we've got a talented young person in the studio from the previous program who doesn't have a life. Introduce yourself. Say hello.
G'day, hello.
She's a rock climber, they tell me.
A rock climber.
Yeah.
Rock climber, swimmer.
Oh, God, I feel
I'll carry things for you. Strong, very strong.
Strong,
arms.
Strong, okay. Yeah,
very capable.
I'm thinking of going overseas. Can you carry my bag?
Yeah, but are you going to pay for my ticket?
No. Well, Daryl, I heard that you've had a wonderful experience at one of our public hospitals and you're a very happy man.
Well, almost happy. It's a bit sore to sit down still.
We don't want to know the detail. I'm just saying, you've got great praises for the public hospital sector.
Oh, I have. Yeah, that's St. Vincent's. I can't remember what street. Well, near the city anyway. The staff there are just absolutely fantastic.
They call it Victoria Parade.
Victoria Parade, yeah.
Yeah. Just in case you didn't know. Now, poor Denise is on the phone because I think she's on the phone. Is she on the phone?
Yeah, she's on the phone.
Oh, she hasn't hung up. Hello, Denise.
Hello, Joe.
Yeah, and Daryl's there too. He's stuffed it up.
Hello, Daryl.
Hello, Denise.
He's such a nice person, Daryl.
That's good.
If I get out of kilter, he'll step in to protect you. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, he's that type of bloke. You know, he's always looking after the underdog and the exploited. Well, I like to do the exploitation, basically. Now, Denise, it's a pleasure having you on the program. It's a pity you can't get into the studio, but we understand you live a long way away and your health isn't brilliant. So.
That's correct.
So what year were you born? Are you able to tell us?
1951.
51?
Yes.
Same year I was born?
No, sorry. That's the year we came to Australia. I was born in 1948.
48. Yeah.
Yep. We came to Australia in 1951.
On a ship, I assume?
Yes, the Strathmore.
The Strathmore. You'd have no recollections, would you, as a three-year-old?
Not much, no.
You got any recollections of that trip?
We had to do this thing when we passed the equator. We were all dunked into the water. God knows why.
Yeah, they used to do that then. What, into the ocean or the pool?
I think the pool. I don't think they'd do that, put you in the ocean, no.
Not a three-year-old. Maybe somebody our age, but not a three-year-old. And who's we? Who was on that ship with you?
Mum, Dad, and a brother and a sister.
Mum, Dad, and a brother and sister. Why did they come to this godforsaken place?
Well, I think we were classed as economic migrants. Dad couldn't get work after the war, and his parents came the year before.
Right.
So there was a connection, and a connection to Mornington where we ended up.
Right. Now, you said Dad couldn't get work after the war. Was Dad in the war?
He was in the Home Guard, if you don't mind.
Right, in the Home Guard. And he couldn't get work?
No.
So what type of work?
He was a tool maker.
And he couldn't get work. That's extraordinary, isn't it?
Yep, yes. Anyway, we had this connection with grandparents. His parents came the year before.
Right.
So made the decision to come to Australia.
You're not 10-pound poms, were you?
No, my mother failed the medical.
So if you fail, well, look, it's better than today because if you fail the medical, we don't let you in.
That's exactly right. We had to pay our own passage and I've still got the receipt.
How much was it?
300-odd pounds.
That's extraordinary. That's a year's wages.
Yes.
I remember my father was telling me, I was born in 51, and he was telling me that he was getting £5 a week working as a lumper.
Right.
See, they don't know what a lumper is, do they?
No, I don't.
Oh, I thought you
what
did.
What is it? Explain.
A lumper is a human conveyor belt. What used to happen is, you know, the ships would come in with all their cargo, you know, they'd come in 100-weight sacks, and you'd have this line of men who are unskilled, and they just walk up and they put a sack on their shoulder and then they walk to another place and take the sack off, and then, you know, before they had, yeah, that was a lumper. It's interesting. I was in the Seamen's Union office in Island Street there in West Melbourne, and they had an old banner for the Lumpers Union.
Right.
But it doesn't exist anymore, obviously, like a lot of other jobs in the waterside industry. So what were your parents like? What was your dad's name?
Eddie.
And Mum?
Edgar Leslie Smith. I was a Smith.
You were a Smith, not a Hassett.
Now I'm a Hassett, yes.
I can see. I won't go into that, I think. So you're a Smith. And what was Mum's name?
Marjorie.
And your siblings on the ship?
Sylvia
and
Roger.
Right.
Mum and Dad went on to have another child.
Right, and who was that?
Quite a few years later, Clinton.
Clint.
He lives in Queensland.
Right, he's sensible. You stayed back on the peninsula. So, what, you lived with your grandparents when you first came, did you?
Yes, they had a house in right in the Mornington Township. It was sort of split in half, and we had the back half and they had the front half.
Yeah.
That was for a while. And then we went up to Van Ness Avenue, which was just a bush everywhere, bush.
Yeah, bush block.
Yep, a house up there. There was no water. We had to have tank water, no sewerage.
Right.
When my my mother wrote to her father to say where we were, he said, "Where on earth has she gone? Fancy coming from London to Mornington where there wasn't anything." Very backward, you could say.
Well, that's where people used to live if they didn't have any money. It's not like
that's
today.
Right.
That's where you live if you got money.
I don't know about that. I haven't got much money.
Yeah, but you're one of those old people, you know, that hangs around there. So did your dad find work in Australia?
He did eventually. For the first while, he worked for the local council, Mornington Shire it was then, repairing roads because he couldn't get his professional job.
As a toolmaker, yep.
Mm. But he ended up a couple of years later having to go up to Huntingdale from Mornington. There was no public transport between Mornington and Frankston to catch the train, so he used to hitchhike to Frankston, get the train up and go up to Huntingdale.
To work, and it started 7 in the morning, I assume.
Mm.
Is it any different today regarding public transport down in the peninsula?
There's a bus service that's probably okay. There's not much in between townships like Hastings and Mornington.
Right.
They keep trialling it, but it doesn't get used very well, so they discontinue it.
Oh, that's interesting.
But there's a regular bus service that goes right down to Sorrento.
Right, right. Well, I assume everybody's got BMWs and you don't need a bus service. Well, don't complain. That was tongue-in-cheek, listeners.
I know you know,
but you know, you don't know about people listening. I mean, I've had complaints that you wouldn't believe, and then it's all right. God's on our side, Denise. And did your mum? Was your mum?
Which God?
I don't know. Just make one up. My God's my cat. All right.
Mine's my dog.
Well, there we go. We're animal lovers. Although,
absolutely. My Molly's the same age as me. We're aging together.
Excuse me. Molly's 77?
Yes. Next year she'll be a lot older.
You're using dog years, are you?
Yes.
Yeah, I've met your Molly. She's, you know, she wouldn't bite a postman, would she?
No, she makes a loud noise. People think that I've got a wolfhound or something.
Well, it's useful sometimes when you're older.
She's got a deep bark.
And did your mum stay at home or was she forced to go out to work too?
Oh, she went out to work too.
And what was she doing?
She was a stenographer.
That's pretty skilled.
Yep.
Court stenographer or for a business?
She worked at the local council
for
a while.
See, I don't think people know what a stenographer is these days, do they?
Oh, well, secretarial.
Daryl's shaking his head. What do you expect from a babe like him? You know what Daryl's really, really, really aiming for?
No.
To be an old age pensioner.
Oh, God. two weeks to go.
2 weeks to go.
2 weeks to go.
And you're not counting, are you, Daryl?
No.
No. He runs, what's that little program you run here on 3CR?
Breadline.
Breadline.
Yeah. To help the unemployed. I'll still be running it even though I've...
You're an old age pensioner.
Yeah.
But
is that a non-paid job?
Yep. We're all volunteers here.
Yeah.
I mean, are you suggesting we get paid? I've been here 48 years. I've never got paid or received a bribe. I mean, what type of a loser am I? So, where did you go to school initially?
Mornington Primary School.
Yeah. What was that like for a young English lass?
Picked on a bit because I was a pummy kid.
Yeah, I thought so. What did they call
it? You know, the migrants talk about discrimination. If you spoke differently, and I possibly did a bit with an English accent, flipped accent.
Yeah.
You're a pummy kid.
Yeah.
No, they didn't, they sort of, you were bullied a bit.
Yeah. Well, people
are. Anyway.
Yeah, people talk about the good old days, you know. But.
Are the good old days?
You didn't see any good old days?
Not really, no.
Not really. So, you didn't have much fun at primary school.
Not really, no.
No. Didn't the bullying, the bullying didn't decrease as you got older?
Yes, it did, And I had a big sister and she looked after me.
Right. And what's her name?
Sylvia.
Is she still with us?
Yes.
Does she still look after you?
She's 3 years older than me.
Right. You're looking after her.
Probably.
Yeah. So... You finished primary school. Did you go to secondary college or they sent you off to
Mornington
work?
Mornington High School.
Which one?
Called a high school. None of this college business.
Yeah, high school, yeah. These were public institutions, weren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but they call the Mornington Secondary College. They're colleges now.
Yes.
We've Americanized our system.
So you went to a high school.
I went to a high school.
Yeah, I went to a high school. It's called Salisbury State High School.
So right.
Yeah, that's the trouble with us too. We should have gone to private schools and we wouldn't be talking to each other. We'd be on a yacht somewhere we'd be in a yacht somewhere enjoying ourselves, Denise.
Probably, yes.
Yeah, God, these bloody working class kids. I don't know, like you and me. So how did you go at high school? Were you still bullied?
No. They got used to me.
Or you got used to them. Maybe an Aussie accent like, by then.
Probably, yes, dropped it probably.
Yeah. And
I haven't got an accent at all now.
Garbage.
Hmm?
You have got an accent.
Australian.
Australian. So how did you go at high school?
Could have done better. Report.
Well, you're one of those kids who'd go home with, you know, you have your little report card and down the bottom it says, could have done better.
Yes, I talk too much. And I ask too many questions.
Has anything changed?
No.
I used to love taking my reports home because my parents initially couldn't read English.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that was excessive.
You got away with a lot.
Yeah, it says could have done better. I got a number of them and I just said, oh, that means very good. both my parents are dead. Forgive me. Now, how did you get to year 12 or did you leave at year 10?
I left in year 11.
In the middle. Why'd you leave?
Oh, look, my mother and father weren't that supportive of going on to education. You're a girl and you're going to get married and, you know, why would you go on further? That was Mum's attitude.
Yeah, sounds the right attitude, yeah.
I think it was the Times.
The Times, yeah. So where'd they push you into? What, stenography? Factory work?
Actually, my first job was with the Commonwealth Bank, if you don't mind.
Ah.
Clerical work. I hated it.
Why did you hate it?
Oh, I don't know. It was boring, I think.
I think it was all those smelly little kids that used to come in with their little you know, little books, and they'd have a penny or 5 cents or something, and they deposit it every week. It was a ritual, wasn't it?
It certainly was.
Yeah, pity we...
You had a passbook when you were at primary school, putting your pocket money in.
That's right.
When the State Savings Bank was still going.
Yeah, I remember the little Commonwealth Bank little tins. You'd save your money.
Yeah, I've got a couple of them.
Have you?
Yeah.
They'd be worth millions.
Hey?
They'd be worth money.
So how long
did you last as a clerical assistant at the Commonwealth Bank?
Couple of years.
Ah, so you must be getting 17, 18 now.
Yeah. I met my future husband there.
At the Commonwealth Bank?
Yes, he was a teller.
These romances are frowned on today, workplace romances, you know that. It's a minefield.
Well, we kept it hidden for quite some time until we got sprung when we were out somewhere. Because you weren't allowed to work together in case you conspired to rob the bank somehow or you'd fraud or something, I think.
That's right. You got together and you worked it out.
He got moved.
What year was this?
Oh, God, 1966.
Look, there's no need to mention Molly's name in vain in this interview, all right? I know she's your god.
Year of decimal currency.
66. People wouldn't believe it, would they?
No.
They wouldn't believe it. Okay, he got moved. And what did you do? You moved from the bank and did something else, I assume?
Well, it was the time when you worked, and if you got married, you weren't welcome back.
That's right, yeah. Tell us about those good old days. If you were a woman and you got married.
Yep. Yeah, so that teachers were like that, all sorts of professions.
Yeah, all the professions, especially if you were a public servant of some type. Mm. If you're a woman, you got married, you lost your job automatically.
Yep.
Mm. What do you reckon, Daryl? Good old days?
Sounds ridiculous to me.
Well, no. They need to. You need somebody to cook and clean, mate. I mean, you know, this is 66, 67. Give us a break. He doesn't understand anything, does he? So what did you move on to next?
Well, I ended up having we started our family.
Right.
Had my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So I sort of was a stay-at-home mum for a while.
Yep.
And then we bought a house in Mount Eliza, our first house.
Right. Well, these days you'd need a bloody armoured vehicle just for the deposit for a house in Mount Eliza, wouldn't you?
Yes.
But in those days it was considered to be a little bit out of town, wasn't it?
Yes. Mm. Yes, it was a holiday home.
Right. Yeah.
And it came semi-furnished, which was good because there were, you know, things in the house. We did want to build a house, but we couldn't afford to buy a block and build, so we bought an existing house.
Right.
The kids grew up there.
How many kids?
Two.
Two. Oh. Did they fight?
Of course they did.
We've got somebody who's realistic on the phone here, Daryl. You got kids, haven't you, Daryl?
Yeah.
Did they fight?
Oh, they love to fight.
Yeah, I got kids. The same thing. Same thing.
Mm.
I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, you think you bring home these little bundles of joy, and then they start shitting and pissing on you, and then they start answering back. Was that your experience?
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, this sounds like a pretty mundane life. I don't know why I've got you here on Radical Australia. When did things go astray?
Pardon?
When did things start going astray that you became active, politically active? What happened?
The Vietnam War? Yes, went to 20th Marches, dragged the kids along. And then pretty active when Gough Whitlam got chucked out.
You realise the 50th anniversary this year?
Yes, it certainly is.
I'm organising a picnic on the steps of the Victorian Parliament House on Tuesday the 11th of November to mark the day.
Are you?
Yeah, people need to bring wine, beer, food and musical instruments.
Is that allowed? Is alcohol allowed there?
We don't care. We're going to have a picnic to mark the 50th anniversary. End of story. I'm sure it's allowed inside.
Of course.
Yeah. All right. So did that lead anywhere to a type of a political career of any particular political parties, or were you just a demonstrator?
Both my husband at the time, we both joined the Labor Party.
Uh-huh. What, was this pre or post-Gough?
After he got chucked out.
Right, yeah.
We were all incensed about it.
Yeah. It was a fascinating period, wasn't it? Because I think, Gough was faced with the Labor Party was faced with the important decision. Do they resist it and possibly there's blood in the streets? Because people were really angry. Or do they acquiesce? And they acquiesced.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I came from a family, my mother and father, they wouldn't talk about politics.
Right.
But I found out they were conservative.
Tories.
We had these awful debates and discussions.
Right.
And I was looked upon as a communist.
Right. Because you joined the Labor Party.
Yes.
Well, you tell them. Did you go home for Christmas?
I can't remember, probably.
Probably, yeah. No religion, no politics at the time.
No religion, no. We weren't a religious family.
Right.
It was a blessing.
So what was it like being in the Labor Party in those days, post-Gough? That's all, 50 years ago?
God.
No, don't abuse Molly. I keep telling you, leave her alone.
Oh, well, you went to demonstrations and...
What, Labor Party members went to demonstrations? What's going on?
Well, it was after Labor got chucked out, wasn't it?
Yeah, but you went to demonstrations. Don't they just sit in offices now and work out who's going to be the next city member for a safe seat?
Oh, that happened later on.
Oh, that happened later on. Okay. So did you get involved at any level in the party, you and your husband?
Yes, I think we were both on the executive at some stage.
Right. So what's the Labor Party executive? What do they do?
I don't know. I run meetings.
Uh-huh.
Fundraise. Yep.
Were you part of what they used to call the Tomato Left in Victoria?
Probably, yeah.
You know what that, Daryl, is the Tomato Left?
Mm-hmm.
No, it was the socialist faction of the Labor Party, which is very radical in the 60s and 70s. You know all those public housing towers you see on the beach?
Yep.
That's because of their, all right? And when they were finally lost the numbers, they were at a conference, they started throwing tomatoes at the other factions.
Oh.
So they used to be called the Tomato Left.
Oh, right.
Remember the good old days when tomatoes were cheap?
The good old days.
Remember when good old tomatoes were cheap? Were you part of any faction?
Well, my ex-husband was really unaligned. He didn't he didn't go either way, but I was more left-wing than him.
Right. Oh, did that cause troubles at the dinner table?
Oh, he probably didn't approve. I don't know. Yeah. I didn't care. I did what I wanted to do.
Right.
That's probably why we didn't stay married.
Oh, when did that come to an end? What year did that come to an end?
God, it's...
Who knows? We don't.
Too long ago.
We don't want to dredge up those memories. So, did he get anywhere in the Labor Party?
Oh, he ended up standing for the seat of Dramana,
right. The
state seat of Dramana.
Right.
On the second time he stood, he actually won.
Wow.
It was because John Cain, he was part of the John Cain government.
Right.
John Cain said that if he was elected, he'd have an inquiry into poker machines.
Right.
And, of course, he did get elected. And the sitting member was Robert Dunstan, and he wasn't in favour. The Liberal Party weren't adamant of him. Oh. And so he sort of quit. I think he quit. Anyways, they had another person stand, and ex-husband David, won.
Wow.
I think he won by about 647 votes, something like that.
That's a real victory for Dramana, isn't it?
Yes.
People don't understand how conservative...
He's been the only state Labor member. We've had federal Labor members, but he's been the one and only state Labor member down here.
Right. Look,
He was a member for just a term because they had a redistribution and they changed the electoral boundaries and they made it Mornington and Nepean. And because we lived in the seat of Mornington, he contested Mornington. And there was talk about members saying he should have contested Nepean and he probably would have won it, but he was adamant that he had to stand where we lived.
Right.
I guess, that's what happened.
And how about your... You lost, yeah. Look, it's 4:30. We're chatting, not interviewing, chatting with Denise Hassett, two S's and two T's, regarding her life and her god, Molly the dog.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
Now, did you have a career in the Labor Party? Did you find yourself standing for something?
I did. I stood in 1987 against Peter Reith.
Not Children Overboard, Peter Reith.
Yes, that bastard.
Hey, he's dead. You're supposed to be kind to the dead, you know.
You know what? My one regret was that I never met up with him again after, and I didn't say that, tell him he was a bloody liar with Children Overboard.
Right. Oh, that is a regret. So how did you go? It's a very conservative area, as I found out at the last election. How did you go?
I got a pretty good swing because I worked hard. I was going to make sure that he had to justify himself, and I made sure he was had to go where I just went all around the electorate and made a nuisance of himself with the Liberal Party.
Right.
And I got a decent swing.
I think it was 4-6. I think it was around 6%, wasn't it? Which is pretty decent.
In those days, that was a pretty good swing.
It was. Now, I understand Gough kind of had a chat to you during the campaign.
He did. I actually invited him to open my campaign. I wrote him a letter, never expecting to hear a bit from him at all.
Mm.
And my kids were saying, there's this man that wants to talk to you, Mum. And, of course, I was out campaigning, doing a lot of campaigning. Anyway, the third time he rang, I was actually home doing dinner, and the phone rang. I thought,
Hang on. You're campaigning.
Mm-hmm.
You're working.
And I came home.
And you're doing dinner.
I came home to do dinner, yes.
Didn't you have somebody to do dinner for you from the party?
Pardon?
Oh, wasn't somebody going to cook dinner? You're campaigning.
No.
Right. So you answered the phone. All right.
And I just said, hello. And there was this voice, Gough Whitlam here. I said, oh, hello. He said, you're a hard woman to catch. And I said, well, I've been out campaigning, haven't I? Anyway, we had a nice chat. He asked me whether I was going to win, if I thought I was going to win. I said I had to be quite honest with you. No, right. I don't think it's winnable. And he said, well, he said, I really have to be directed where to go, where I'm more likely to make an impression than someone that's not going to win. So I said, well, okay, that's fair enough. So we talked a few about different things, and it was an interesting conversation.
Yeah, right. Because he was well respected in certain sections of the Labor Party.
Yes,
they had to bash some heads together to get it to a operable kind of unit. Because it's a very, very divisive party. So, how long did you stay in the Labor Party for?
I left, must be 30 years ago.
Excuse me?
I left the Labor Party probably nearly 30 years ago.
30 years ago? Any particular reason?
I wasn't keen on the exporting of uranium.
Right.
And there must have been other things as well, but I wasn't keen on Bob Hawke's. Trying to change the rules of uranium.
Right.
Mind you, I have a good word for Bob Hawke. He changed, when you stood for Parliament, you had to renounce your citizenship and become an Australian citizen. And I was happy to do that,
right.
But I didn't want to wear my allegiance to the Queen. I thought that was dreadful. No Australians had to do that.
Mm.
So he changed it and said you could swear allegiance to the country, and that's what I did. I became an Australian citizen in about 1986.
Right.
Would have done it earlier, but swearing allegiance to the Queen wasn't my thing.
Capitally. Well, you know, it's interesting that today's elected federal politicians, both in the House of Reps and the Senate, have to swear allegiance to the Queen and now the King. Well, they can't take up their seat. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
That's what Lilia Thorpe, you know, when she, you know, was really angry about a year ago.
That's right, I remember.
It was all about, because today, if you do not swear allegiance to the monarch and their offspring, you cannot take up your seat in Parliament.
Right, and she must have done it.
Well, she had to. Yeah, she said. Mm. She said she swore allegiance to a swine, not something like that.
It sounds like Lydia Thorpe.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to do something. But seriously, if you look at, because we've now got a black leather law interpretation of the Australian Constitution. So you wouldn't have even, you stood illegally. What year did you stand?
1987.
Oh, after you became an Australian citizen.
Yes, I became an Australian citizen about 1986.
Right. Well, if you stand for federal parliament these days, there's all these questions you've got to answer about your parents, your grandparents, and your great-grandparents.
Well, you know that all that kerfuffle about them not, the some of them that hadn't renounce their citizenship.
Mm.
I knew when I stood that I had to do that.
Mm.
I don't know. People were just not aware, or I don't know how they didn't know, but I knew in 1986 that I had to.
Well, it's more than that. You may actually have the right to citizenship, which you're not aware of.
Yes.
And that's the dilemma. It's not just the fact that you've got to, you've got to not just renounce it, but you have to renounce rights you may not even be aware of. I found a little loophole in the Australian Constitution, and I think the High Court has upheld it. If you've got an Italian background, if you don't apply for citizenship, you have no automatic right to Italian citizenship. But if you're from Malta, you have an automatic right to citizenship. Most people don't even know about it.
Well, that was because they were part of the British Commonwealth.
Yeah.
Up until about 19, I don't know, when Gough was in, that he changed it so that people born in England or any of the Commonwealth countries automatically got Australian citizenship.
That's right. And you've still got people, and I know some, who are British citizens who continue to vote in federal elections because of the constitutional arrangements. Did you know that?
Yes, I did,
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right.
Little quirks.
Yeah. So what did you do after you failed foray into federal politics?
I worked for a parliamentarian for 4 years.
Are we allowed to know who it is?
Yes, Maureen Lister.
Who was that?
She was the member for Chelsea Province.
Right.
And she ended up becoming a minister in the Joan Kerner government.
Right.
And she was minister for health, and she was another time minister for local government.
So what was your job in the office?
I worked in the office. It was a fabulous job.
Why is that?
I just loved being able to help people when they came in with difficult problems.
Didn't you lock the door on them and send them away? That's what happens these days.
Pardon?
Well, that's what happens these days. You lock the door and you talk through an intercom.
Yes, I know. Mm. It's changed.
It has changed dramatically. Yeah.
Security. But it did get pretty hairy when the Pyramid Building Society went upside down. People came in that were very angry.
Right.
They put all their money. You know, everybody tells you never, if you've got money, you don't put it all in the one thing, but they did, and a lot of people lost an awful lot of money.
Well, nobody expected it to collapse, did they? Or the state bank to collapse?
No, and unfairly, the Labor government at the time got, you know, bad. They were condemned for allowing it to happen. But Rob Jolly was the treasurer right. at the time, mm. and they were investigating the Building Society. And the bloke, I can't remember his name now, but they had a couple of sets of books.
A couple of sets of books. I like that.
Yeah. And they showed them the wrong books, or the right books, if you like, to Rob Jolly. Oh, yes, everything's okay. Yeah. And, of course, it wasn't.
Yeah. I remember John Cain Jr., when he was Premier, he'd say, look at all those cranes.
Yeah.
Things must be all right. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Look, yeah. He was an honest man. He was honest.
He was, yes.
But he was very trusting.
Yes, too trusting.
Yeah.
So I thoroughly enjoyed that time.
So why did you leave?
Hmm?
Why did you leave?
She got defeated. You lose your job when your boss loses.
Oh, is that what happens? And nobody else wanted you?
No.
Oh,
God. No, unfortunately.
You didn't go back to stenography or something like that?
I'm trying to think what I did do afterwards. I ran a bed and breakfast for 15 years.
That's it. A bed and breakfast before it was popular.
Yes, but before that I had a couple of businesses. I was involved with a couple of businesses in the township.
Right, what type of businesses?
A delicatessen.
Right.
That was interesting. And actually at that time I was putting my ex-husband through teacher's college. He wanted to be a teacher.
Oh, right, yep.
So I ran the business and he went to school.
Well, that's very nice of him, and obviously he thanked you for it.
Yeah, right.
So you said running a delicatessen was interesting. I thought it'd be hard work.
It was, but I enjoyed it.
You enjoy a lot of things, Denise, I've noticed. When you get involved in something, you make the most of it.
I do.
So what suburb was the deli in?
In Main Street, Mornington.
Did they actually know? What it was, apart from black pudding and, you know, pasties, Cornwall pasties?
Ham off the bone, cut as you wanted it.
All right. Yep.
I used to slice bacon as thin or thick as people wanted it.
Ooh. Did you slice your fingers? Did you slice your fingers?
No.
All right.
I was very careful.
And you made what?
Mm?
You said you made something and I rudely interrupted.
I used to make sandwiches. I had a good lunch trade.
Right.
Rotisserie chickens, made pate.
Right. You made pate?
Yeah, all the different cheeses. My children had a love of food from an early age.
A love of good food?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I remember my son was asked what was his favourite food and he told the class caviar.
Caviar.
The teacher wondered where.
Well, I don't blame
you. The thing was that when things are coming to its use-by date close to it, we take it home if it hadn't been sold.
Right.
So they got a good taste of different food.
That's in a deli. Why'd you sell or close the deli?
Well, my health wasn't good, and David, my ex-husband, had got endorsement for the Labor Party.
Right.
So I left and sold the business and campaigned with him to get the seat.
This isn't a pin, is it?
No, Dramana.
Dramana, right. This is the one he
won. Dramana was from Mount Eliza
right.
down to Sorrento.
Right.
It was a big electorate.
Right. And so you said you started getting health issues.
Yes.
Did they require medical intervention or operations?
Yes.
Oh, that's no good.
Yes, I did. I had gynecological problems.
Right. Yeah, it kind of... Health becomes central, doesn't it?
Certainly does.
And everything else kind of falls apart if you haven't got your health.
That's right.
And some days you think you're divine, and the next day you realise you're a feather duster.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Mm. anyway, I sort of recovered, and he got elected to Parliament, as I say, for a term.
Yes.
Then in 85, we ended up buying the bed and breakfast in Mornington. Well, it wasn't a bed and breakfast. We made it a bed and breakfast. It was a beautiful old Californian bungalow double story.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's not there now because the people I sold it to only wanted the land because it was central in Mornington.
Yes.
And they lied about it. They said they loved the house and they were going to live in it, but they only wanted the land. They were going to knock it down. It should have been heritage listed, but the Mornington Council ran out of money in the early 80s and it never got listed as a historical building. It was a doctor's house when I was growing up in Mornington.
Right. So what have we got there now? Little flats or something? Boring?
I think they're ugly. Two ugly houses.
Right. What's it like running a bed and breakfast? That sounds like a hard work getting up before the bastards get up and making breakfast for them.
Yes, I loved it. I was interested in meeting people.
Right.
Had interesting people stay. Had Michael Lunick stay for a week.
All right, yeah.
He had an exhibition at the Mornington Regional Gallery.
Right.
And he stayed. I'd been involved with the Regional Gallery on and off and still are. So they used me as a venue for their guests that were staying over.
Right.
Had Joan Kerner stay. Mark, what's that bloke that the Labor Party chucked out?
Latham.
Yes, him. Hey, look, he, on a one-to-one, and this is before he went mad, I think he was.
Right.
He was quite a decent sort of a bloke.
Oh, yeah.
So I used to make breakfast to people, which they could have the choice of, well, I'd do a fresh fruit compote of all the fruit of the season. They had a choice of different cereals and then a cooked breakfast if they wanted it, whatever they wanted.
I'm getting hungry, Daryl. What do you reckon we'll go down there? We'll go down to Denise's place. Maybe she'll make breakfast for us.
Oh, we'll have to, yeah. My
mouth's
watering
already. And then I used to make muffins.
Muffins?
Yes, had muffins after that, and if they didn't eat them, I put them in a paper bag and sent them home with them.
Oh, right. What a hostess. What a hostess. Right.
It was lovely meeting different people and having conversations at the breakfast table.
Now that you brought up Michael Learning, I'm really, really angry, you know?
And why?
Because he wasn't offered a state, his family was not offered a state funeral.
Right.
By the government, this government. And the fact is he had an extraordinary influence on so many people over so many years with his cartoons and his quips. You know, I felt
You know why he wasn't offered a state funeral?
Why?
I don't know.
I think I know why, but I won't mention it on air because he had some view. See, some people think we've all got to think the same way. And Michael had ideas which went against the grain regarding childcare and early childhood rearing, where he was against these early childhood development kind of things. He felt that young children should be staying at home with their parents, so he had all these ideas, which made him on the outer in the later part of his life. Yeah.
Yes, I think you're right. I remember some of those controversial cartoons.
Yeah. A controversial cartoon. Isn't that funny? Obviously, they should all be controversial. Go against the grain. Now, I felt it really showed a lack of courage in terms of the government not offering his family a state funeral because he's... I mean, most younger people wouldn't know who he was, but in the heyday before the advents of the virtual world and social media, I mean, that cartoon in The Age was a significant political contribution, sometimes on a daily basis. Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Oh.
Yes.
Now,
I got him to sign my visitor's book and he asked me which character I liked and I said, I like Mr. Curly and the Ducks.
So did you get that?
And so he wrote his name and made a comment, and then he wrote, had put Mr. Curly in and the Ducks.
Oh, that's very nice. You still got it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll have to come.
I'll show it to you one day.
Well, that's very nice, Denise, when you invite Daryl and myself for breakfast. What is it, muffins, Daryl?
I love a muffin.
I can assure you the muffins won't be going home in a bloody paper bag. We'll be eating them, won't we?
Yep.
Right. So obviously you're a little bit, how shall I put it, you're like an aged cheddar these days. So what are you doing these days to amuse yourself?
Well, I joined Youth 3A, which has been an interesting journey.
Now, could you explain to the ignorant people who Youth 3A
is? University of the Third Age.
Because we actually may actually have a young listener who may not know what it is.
University of the Third Age. It's the retirees.
Can I tell you about a horrific experience I had coming to the 3CR this afternoon?
No, go on.
Yeah, and it involves the University of the Third Age.
Yes.
I was trying to get to the Diggers Club in Dramana to get some seeds, right?
Right.
In between the two programs, the morning program and the afternoon program.
Goodness me.
Yeah, it's all right. But on the way there, apart from the roadworks and the crashes, I finally got there. Not my crashes. As I was reached Dramana, I had a great urge to relieve myself. And I noticed the Dramana Community Centre, so I raced in, and on the way to the gents' cubicle, I noticed a doorway which had University for the Third Age on it. How's that?
Right.
In Dramana.
Yes, there's one at Dramana, and there's one over at Hastings, and one at Mornington. They're well attended.
What type of things? I mean, Darryl's going to become an old age pensioner in 2 weeks. What would you suggest he partake?
Well, he could join philosophy or current affairs or film buff, watch a film.
Mm. How about music? It. He used to be a professional musician in his heyday.
Well, there's music programs, there's painting, there's craft.
There you go, Daryl.
Yeah, music sounds good. Music arranging, that's what I like best.
Yes, people learn to learn musical instruments. I think they have people learning the banjo and they have a session. Then there's National Theatre. Go to get to watch National Theatre from, most of them are from England, and then discuss with, what you thought about it.
The same with
film buffs. We watch a film and then discuss it.
Yeah.
There's book club. The book club.
Sounds like you people got a full life down there on the peninsula, you old people.
Oh, you can do as many courses as you like. You can fit in.
Is there any fee?
$70 a year.
And you can do anything you like. That's amazing.
Some of the craft things that require
extras,
you have to pay for, but mostly it's free.
Because it's better than sitting.
There's a great bunch of people that run it.
Right. And what other things are you doing these days?
I'm still a bit involved with the Regional Gallery.
Right. That's the Mornington Peninsula Gallery.
The Peninsula Regional Gallery, yes. Yep. I do their mail out. I've been doing that for about 40 years. God, heavens above. Anyway, what else do I do? U3A takes a lot of my time.
It sounds like it. Now, look, you won't believe this, Denise. We're almost at the end of our chat. Now, obviously, you've been on the planet a long time. If you've been here since 1948, you've had a political experience, both parliamentary and extra-parliamentary in your life. You've run businesses. You've done many extraordinary things. And I know that you're looking after one of your children, who's got issues. So what's your advice to our younger listeners? How do you have a full life? What do you do?
Get involved in the community. Make a contribution.
You're
Make
kidding.
A difference.
Make a contribution.
Yes, to find something that you're passionate about.
Right.
And get involved with any organisation to do with that.
Yeah.
Whatever it might be. And make a contribution.
So what? You shouldn't be sitting at home waiting for the undertaker?
Absolutely not.
Well, yeah, that's what I thought we were supposed to do, Aren't we supposed to die quietly? Not make a fuss?
Well, that's for some people.
So you're going to grow old disgracefully?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, it's amazing how many older women that I know who've got the same attitude, that it's participation, get involved, do things, be active, and grow old disgracefully. Yeah.
Well, you can make a difference. I mean, I helped establish the community health centre down here.
Yes.
Admittedly, it was when my ex was a member of parliament that made it easier.
Mm.
But I was on a couple of committees in the Labor Party, helped the health and welfare committee, the environment. I was involved with an environmental group for years and years, taking the kids out to pull out bone seed, which was a terrible weed on the... It still is. It's about this time of the year from now on, you'll see all this yellow flower.
Yeah.
And it's a dreaded African bone seed.
Mm, mm.
And I think if I mention that to the kids, they just screech.
Look, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I think you could be an inspiration for people, because I think a lot of people these days kind of think the virtual world is what it's all about, but it's practical application that it's about, and it's about other people.
Yes.
So,
yes, if you can make a difference, do it. Yeah. I do a lot of letter writing to the local paper. I get letters in The Age occasionally, and in the Saturday paper.
Right. Right.
For instance, just locally, a stupid council planted all these non-Indigenous trees along the pavement.
Oh, right, yep.
Nature strips.
Yep.
They planted, I think they're Manchurian pears. At the moment, they're just sticks.
Right.
But I had a go at the council in the 80s, and I got an undertaking from them that they would replace or plant any trees on public land that would be Indigenous. Well, right. I've just been thrown out the door. They must have got a job lot to get the Manchurian pears cheap or something.
The thing is, the Mornington Council at the minute's has gone kind of haywire, I've noticed. They're beyond the pale.
They are.
Thank you very much, Denise. We need to go. Thank you, Daryl, for doing all the hard work.
Thank you, Daryl. Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome, Denise.
Catch up with you soon.
We'll catch up with you soon. All the best.
Okay, you too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Radical Australia with presenter Joe Toscano and special guest Denise Hazard here on 3CR Community Radio, 8:55 a.m. on your dial, online at 3cr.org.au, and this program is being podcasted. Stay tuned now for Brainwaves coming up next.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.